Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again! And Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the Gao Studios in Houston, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
What is this world coming to? Porn stars running soccer teams. Okay. Welcome into Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. This is the best in soccer talk tonight. I want to hear from you, the soccer fan. Again, whether you want to talk the Champions League draw, the Tigres Pumas. Yeah, did you see that one coming? In the Mexican League, with Tigres holding a 3-0 lead going into the second leg. Unbelievable. Premier League, we've got a lot to talk about. That great story, that is the Foxes of Leicester City, who, well, do what everybody else is doing. Beat Chelsea this past weekend. Or is it AFC Bournemouth? Tonight is your night, 713-780-3776. A little under the weather here, fresh off the NCAA Men's College Cup. Stanford winning that 4-0 over Clemson. We'll give you a few players tonight to keep an eye on in the future, potentially coming to Major League Soccer. So what's on your soccer mind tonight? 713-780-3776 to call in. It's 713-780-3776. We stream at ESPN975.com. Of course, it's Facebook Soccer Matters. Got a lot of good posts up over there. Just put one up about Houston hosting the NCAA College Cup next year in 2016. By the way, pressure's on Houston because there were no fans at Sporting Kansas City. I felt for the players in the NCAA College Cup weekend. You fight long and hard in a very condensed college season. You get there, there's no fans. Conversely, the weekend before, it was a sellout for the women's final in Cary, North Carolina. So there's a lot to be gleaned from that. Want your opinion on that here tonight as well. So Facebook Soccer Matters, posting up over there, and people are talking about it. But I'd love to hear from you on the show, 713-780-3776. You can also follow me at Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. So we got some really interesting interviews tonight. Craig Weibel of Real Salt Lake will be on the show tonight. And my intention is to talk to Craig about being a GM now, and that's what he is. Nobody ever had any questions about where he would go. Nobody was worrying about him post-playing career, that's for sure. But he's a general manager now, and in some ways, Real Salt Lake is very similar to the Houston Dynamo in that they are in the midst, whatever the word you want to use, rebuild, retool, change of philosophy, whatever it is. They're doing the same thing. In some ways. And this will be a very interesting interview with him tonight. I'm going to ask him about their purpose of play, his vision, how he has to connect with a different audience and a different city when it comes to Real Salt Lake being in Salt Lake City and their stadium in Sandy, Utah. So what is it that will connect him to the fan and those teams to the fans there? Like they have done over the years. So it'll be an interesting interview that parallels with where the Dynamo are at. One of the Dynamo signings, Andrew Wenger, he will come on the show tonight. We'll talk to Andrew, his first interview, and he will talk about coming to Houston and getting his career going in the way he wants. He's coming here as a wide midfielder. This is an interesting story because Andrew Wenger in college, 1 year was the ACC Defensive Player of the Year as a center back, and the next year became the ACC Offensive Player of the Year as a striker. It never happened before. But in some ways, I sense and feel that this may have been nebulous for him as far as defining his role because he's played in a variety of places. So we'll talk to Andrew Wenger tonight. He is coming back from a trip in South Africa after the season. We'll talk to him. Also on the show, Tom Marshall, about that epic Tigres Pumas matchup that we all thought was over. Well, on the stroke of halftime, Pumas scores. They score early in the second half. It goes to overtime ultimately. They score in the 87th minute, and then it goes to penalty kicks. We'll get your thoughts on the Mexican League Tigres and Pumas tonight. I want to hear from you. 713-780-3776. Chicharito with the hat trick. Oh, it's just rubbing it into the poor Manchester United fans. Hits for a hat trick for Bayer Leverkusen, 5-0 win over Borussia Mönchengladbach. And Chicharito is lighting it up. I want to get your thoughts on Chicharito tonight. Leicester City today beat Chelsea. And again, I'll give you the phone number, 713-780-3776. Today, Leicester City beats Chelsea. Leicester City, the Foxes, are at the top of the Premier League. Give me a name, Tyler. Bilal. Who is it? Bilal. Okay, so Bilal is on the line. We'll get to Bilal in a second. But Leicester City today beats Chelsea. They're top of the Premier League. They knock off the special one in Chelsea. And by the way, that happens a lot these days. Algerian Riyad Mahrez and the top goal scorer in the Premier League, Jamie Vardy, getting goals. Luke Remy for Chelsea. But you got to give it up for Claudio Ranieri. He was a former Chelsea manager. Leicester is at the top of the Premier League above these giants. I absolutely think these types of stories are essential. They are great for the Premier League. They're great for the sports fan. And they're even better for people like me who don't really have the dog in the fight. Yeah, there's teams I am inclined to like. But I love these stories. Especially in a world that, you know, in a sports world that's dominated by money and finance. It's 9 losses now for Chelsea. Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They are 1 point above the relegation zone. So don't tell me that Jose Mourinho, for a second, has the belief of these players. He's going to be gone at some point. Has to be. Because you can't move a whole entire team of players. So the elite players at Chelsea, they're not elite at the moment. They don't look like they're having any fun. While Leicester looks like they're having a ball. And then Mourinho says today that the players are betraying him. Now, if that's not throwing everybody off the boat, I don't know what it is. All right, let's go to Bilal. Bilal, what's your thoughts tonight? Thank you for joining the show tonight here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5.
Hey, Glenn.
How are you?
Thanks for taking my call. Good, my
pleasure.
How are you?
My pleasure. Very good.
I just wanted to say that this is a season where the Titans fall and sort of the underdogs are rising. It's no surprise Leicester City is where they're at. They ended the season last year on a run. And Chelsea, Jose Mourinho has lost the team. And they haven't betrayed him. I think he's betrayed the team, the fans. It's just, it's no longer household names that are winning the game.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, you could probably ask people to name the top goal scorers in the Premier League, and they probably don't even know half of them because they only watch the top teams, certainly over here. You know, the Uniteds, the Chelseas, the Arsenals. This is an amazing story. Jamie Vardy, leading goal scorer in the league. Ranieri comes back, and everybody's got to laud Ranieri for what he's doing, but he's got to be having so much fun with this win. And there's a romantic element to this, right? I mean,
there is.
There's always the underdog story. I love this.
It was, what, 5 seasons? He was in the 5th league a few years ago. Now he's the leading scorer. Chelsea's lost 9. Manchester United's drawn 6 games with scoreless results.
Yeah, that's right. He was in the 5th tier, Jamie Vardy, the leading scorer in the Premier League right now, in his mid-20s.
It is incredible, and I think he'll represent England in the Euro Cup over the summer.
Marco.
I think this is an incredible story for him.
Yep, no doubt about it. What else on your mind?
Well, I'm a United fan, and I'm just incredibly disappointed with the way the season's gone for them. I think this possession football that they're trying to implement is not who Manchester United is. I think they're more of a striking team. They're very lethal. They tend to score and draw wins and lost 10 to 15 minutes of games, and now you no longer want to watch them anymore.
Let me ask you a question. Is this the claim? It's possession without purpose?
I think that's exactly what it is. It's possession with no purpose. It's just holding the ball for no reason. Holding the ball majority of the time in the midfield in your half rather than the attacking third. And you don't achieve anything, you don't win with anything, and they are where they are because of this play.
Yeah, Louis van Gaal is or Van Gaal is getting tremendous pressure, and it just
him and Jose Mourinho are on the hot seat.
I'm wondering what's going on with two of these very talented managers. Just a singular bad year, or is there something in the modernization of football that maybe is being missed here?
I think it's the focus of more international players and less on homegrown players and what they can do and finding one or two pieces that fit as opposed to buying your pieces.
Now, you have to admit, even though you're a Manchester United fan, watching Bournemouth and the energy and just the vivaciousness of their play, the excitement, you saw that. And the stadium's called the Vitality Stadium. They had vitality.
They did. They wanted that more than United wanted that. They wanted the game. They wanted the score. They wanted to win it. United was just like, we're going to rely on our name, and you'll just bend over and we'll win.
Yeah, I love these two stories. Bournemouth, Leicester City, tremendous stories. I think it's great for the game. Junior Stanislas and Joshua King for Bournemouth, and I believe their 11,000-seat stadium called the Vitality Stadium, while Marouan Fellaini scores for the Red Devils. So do you think these two managers, do you think Van Gaal, because he is very autocratic, do you think that's a part of the problem? Do you think the pieces are just not there? What do you think's the deeper lying problem? I get the whole patience thing with a new manager, but I don't know how much patience people have as Manchester United fans.
The pieces are there. I think he has the right players. He has everybody there. He kept his goalkeeper, who's a world-class keeper. He's got excellent defenders. I think it's his mentality, him not adapting to the way the Premier League is set. It's not sort of the Dutch league. It's not the Spanish league. It's a little bit different. It's a little faster. I think he hasn't fully adapted to that yet.
So you're saying you don't think they get the ball forward quick enough?
No. No. And when they do, they score points and they score goals. You see that with Martial. You see that with Jesse Lingard. But this slow build-up goal scoring is not the way to win games.
Is Memphis Depay's head in this for Manchester United, you think?
No. I think physically he's there. Mentally he's checked out a long time ago.
Yeah. Is that because of youth, or do you think that's because the manager's not getting through to him? He is Dutch, after all, and so is Louis van Gaal.
I think mentally he found himself a young player playing for Manchester United on the starting squad, and again, just thought, okay, things are going to go my way, as opposed to putting in the actual effort and the minutes and running back and forth and defending.
So then you could be critical of van Gaal for thrusting him into it very quickly.
I think if you don't think
a player's ready for that, you ease him into it.
You do. And the same way they did ease in Chris Smalling a few years ago, I wasn't a fan, but now he's their solid best player right now.
Yeah. And also knocked out of the Champions League. That was a body blow.
That's disappointing. There are no words for that.
It's a big body blow. It's a big money loss as well. The Champions League is where it's at. There's no doubt about it. Bilal, as always, thank you for your phone call. I appreciate you weighing in tonight.
Thank you, sir.
All right, 713-780-3776. Your thoughts on Manchester United, your thoughts on Leicester City, on AFC Bournemouth. For all you Leicester City and AFC Bournemouth fans listening to this show, it's amazing how people get very quiet when their teams aren't winning. I wish more people would call in when their teams weren't winning. It would make for some good radio. But, you know, everybody crawls under a rock. Boy, we had some real bravado, though, when Chelsea was winning last year, and we've had bravado when others have been winning the Premier League, the Man City fans and the Manchester United fans. But when the going gets tough, the tough disappear. Got to get out in front of the narrative. Tell us what's happening. If you're a Manchester United fan, if you're a Chelsea fan, give us your 2 cents, because I'm sure you'll bring some good things to the table. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number. I wade into now the final 16. of the Champions League. Draw is done. Ghent against Wolfsburg. What an opportunity for those two clubs to get into the final eight. Monumental opportunity. Roma, Real Madrid. Paris Saint-Germain and Chelsea. Do you think, if you're a Chelsea fan, or any fan for that matter, do you think Chelsea in the last 16 against Paris Saint-Germain, do you think this fact that they're strictly in the competition called the Champions League, can this lift the best out of them against Paris Saint-Germain? Your thoughts. Arsenal-Barcelona. Well, Arsenal, if you're going to try to outpass Barcelona, as good as you are, I'm not sure it's going to happen. That's an interesting matchup of styles there. Juventus and Bayern Munich. Juventus playing better as of late. Bayern Munich, the favorites. I think the overall two favorites out of these 16 teams, clearly Bayern Munich, Barcelona for me. PSV and Atletico. Another incredible opportunity to get into the final eight. Same for Benfica and Zenit. Dynamo Kiev and Manchester City. Any thoughts on the Champions League from you, the soccer fans, at 713-780-3776. We'll get set for a break here. We will take phone calls. The Daspit Law Firm is working for you 24-7. The Houston personal injury attorney handles personal injury cases from plant and refinery accidents, medical, industrial, 18-wheeler, goes right on down to boat, car accidents, even wrongful death. And look, if you're in a time of need, you have to rest with confidence and assuredness that you have a hard-hitting personal injury attorney on your side to fight for your right for compensation. That is the Daspit Law Firm. That is John Daspit. You can contact them at 713-364-0915 or toll-free 888-273-1045. And they are both in English and Spanish. And Soccer Matters, thanks to Daspit Law Firm for their support of Soccer on the Radio, and that goes for all our great sponsors. We truly do thank you, and we are in a unique position here with Soccer on the Radio here. And you know, ESPN 97.5 is a soccer station when it comes to radio in town. All right, quick reminders here. I want your thoughts right now. Premier League, Leicester City knocking off Chelsea today. Bournemouth knocking off Manchester United. Talk about the Premier League. Tigres Pumas. Who wants to talk Tigres Pumas? What an epic ending to that was. Nobody was ready for that. The Premier League, we'll talk it. Tonight is the night. The NCAA Men's College Cup. You saw it. No fans. Final 4-0 Stanford over Clemson. What's the problem? Is it bad for the NCAA Men's College Cup to be on TV without fans there? I think it's bad for soccer, period. I'll talk about it some more tonight. 713-780-3776. We'll take a break.
ESPN 97.5. You make me dizzy, running circles in my head. One of these days I'll chase you down. Look who's going crazy now. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. Quick word here for Amigo Energy. They remind you that daylight savings time occurred back in November. So now, anytime is electricity savings time for Amigo Energy. This month's featured product, it's Assurance 24. This program offers a single all-in rate at all usage levels with no customer service or payment fees. Now, if you're like me, you're tired of fees, customer service, or payment. It doesn't matter. You're tired of them. This program is ideal for people in apartments, anyone who doesn't use a lot of electricity. And if you're tired of getting hit with low usage fees or having to pay fees when you call in your payment, well, Assurance 24 is the program for you. You go to www.amigoenergy.com/soccermatters. That's where you enroll. www.amigoenergy.com/soccermatters. Enroll today or call 888-995-9299. 888-995-9299. Sign up for electricity savings today. Dragging a little bit here with my voice today, so would love to hear from you. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. 780-3776.
Game on, man.
Here's Glenn Davis.
Game on.
With Game On for 90.
All right, so I'm on the clock here. So this past weekend, and I've done this a number of years, calling the NCAA Men's College Cup on ESPNU. Absolute empty stadium over the course of two nights. Sporting Park, an amazing facility, yet no fans there for Clemson, Syracuse, Stanford, and Akron. So, to wake you up here in Houston, we are hosting the NCAA Men's College Cup at BBVA Compass Stadium next year. Now, back to the fans, and I'll talk about that a little bit. How do you get people to these games? The week before, in Cary, North Carolina, the women's final was sold out. Yeah, Duke was playing it, and they're right down the road, but it was sold out. So, the question is, should there just be one site for the NCAA College Cup, just like there is for the College World Series in Omaha, Nebraska? Would that be the solution? Or do you give it to the home of the highest seed? And by the way, you have to market and promote these events. You have to have clinics, their coaches in town. You have to have a tournament. You have a corporate buy-in when it comes to tickets. You got a year to promote it, Houston. There is a risk to an empty stadium. If there's nobody at BBVA Compass Stadium next year for the Men's College Cup, it can hurt the sport locally. It can hurt the sport nationally. And I believe that. I don't know what you believe, but that's what I believe. The NCAA Men's College Cup needs better support. And that's Game On for 90. 713-780-3776. So your thoughts on my Game On here for 90 tonight. What is the solution? I felt so bad for the Stanford players. No fans there. Jordan Morris, by the way, who's played with the full national team, scored for the U.S. against Mexico in San Antonio in front of close to 50,000 people. A college player who's been in with the first team, who's traveled to Brazil with the full national team, to Croatia, discovered by Jurgen Klinsmann. You know how he was discovered? Well, the U.S. were getting set for the World Cup, and they were preparing at Stanford. Stanford team was involved in a scrimmage with the U.S. Ball gets hit over the top. Jordan Morris blows by everybody, picks it up, and scores. All of a sudden, now he's in a couple of training sessions helping out Jurgen Klinsmann. Next thing you know, he's called up to the full national team. And by the way, everybody went nuts. Everybody went nuts. Oh, what does this say? Why aren't they using guys out of Major League Soccer? You know why? Because guys like Juan Agudelo have had their opportunities because they're looking for something new and fresh. And I'm not saying Agudelo's done. But what I'm saying is, we got a glut at the striker position. Now, you could tell me Juan Agudelo is better and more experienced than Jordan Morris. You can't tell me he's got a bigger upside. That's what Jordan Morris brings, a big upside.
His name's Manchester Matt.
Okay, so that's where I say, everybody who cast the stones early about, oh, how can a college player be picked over MLS players? Well, because MLS players have been tried. Chris Wondolowski. It's not saying they're not good soccer players. But if you're looking at the future, this is a young kid. He's explosive over a couple of yards. He can come back into midfield, get a ball and turn, and become a provider. He can draw penalties like he did in the NCAA College Cup. And he's got an upside. Doesn't mean he's going to make it, but he's got a big upside. Seattle's going to try and throw a lot of money at him and prevent him from going and playing in Europe. I can tell you that. So let's get your thoughts. Jordan Morris, the NCAA College Cup, 713-780-3776. I think it's Manchester Matt. Matt, what's on your mind?
Hey, Glenn, what's going on?
How are you, Manchester Matt?
If you want to know, I am feeling pretty bad about my squad and how they are doing and how incredibly disappointing it was that the NCAA Cup had an empty stadium.
Yeah, talk to me about it.
It was really, really sad because those are some amazing players that people just gave them a chance. You know, it's one of those things where you have this amazing gym of talent and this amazing game that you can see, but without marketing, without proper promotion, without street teams to get people out there to care about it, we're missing out on an amazing opportunity, and I really don't want to see that happen in Houston.
Well, and that's why Houston having it is a real there is risk, I believe, associated with this, and there should be, quite frankly, if you're hosting this. I really think so. I think it's up to the communities to step up. It's going to be up to the Dynamo. It's going to be up to all of us here in Houston to support this event. But you got to get going now. You can't wait till a month before and go, oh, we got the NCAA College Cup, and that seemingly is what is happening. But I think the reputations of everybody locally is going to be on the table. Now, guess what? You draw 12,000 to 15,000 fans for the NCAA Men's College Cup, you may be getting it again. So let's hope that the Absolutely. Attitude isn't, you know, the attitude isn't a one-off, and we're going to get a couple, you know, we're going to get people in taking hotels and spending a little money, and it's a one-off. Let's hope that we're trying to make a statement with this thing and take it to the next level. I talked to Oliver Luck while he was out there on Friday night, and he's on board with that too. So we got to make it happen. There's got to be ancillary events. There's got to be coaching clinics with all the coaches coming to town. There'll be MLS coaches here. Let's you know, let me bring three or four of them in studio. Let's do one of those in public in front of people. Let's get a tournament going here. Let's get some corporate buy-in for tickets and distribute them to youth players to put them in there to look exactly at the level they're trying to get to, because most kids that are playing on these fields in Houston are hoping to go on to another level. The next level is the college game.
Absolutely, absolutely. And even have a couple of guys that were in MLS or wherever they used to play come out and support it as well, because for this to be a global game, you need to act like it's global, period. Which means we need to support it on not just the professional level globally, but from the college level globally as well. How many young kids do we have out here who are coming in this country, who played soccer back in their other countries, who are showing up to this game?
Yeah,
and get them out here as well.
And let me add to that, Houston and the surrounding area, for years has been supplying players to colleges and universities around the country, both male and female, for years. There were five guys Absolutely. That won a national championship at UConn back in 2000 and 2001. There have been two Herman Award winners, Chris Bondi and Johnny Torres, all from the Houston area. The Herman Award is equivalent to the Heisman in football. There's history.
Right.
There's Carlos Samuano is the coach of North Carolina. He grew up in Houston. Okay, so there's incredible connection everywhere. So that's another good reason why this has to be taken seriously. And, you know, the NCAA's got to help promote this more. I believe we have to do local work here to help it, and we can make it a great event.
I absolutely agree with you. And to switch gears real quick, we are out of the UEFA Champions League, and I am so incredibly disappointed. I might be the most miserable fan of a fourth-place team in the EPL you're talking to right now, because we have been playing abysmally on the pitch against teams who we should be, quite honestly, we should be beating these guys at least 1-0, 2-0. But right now, the form's bad. I'm questioning the philosophy, and it makes it even worse to see Chicharito losing his mind playing in Germany right now. I mean, I haven't seen a run like this since Messi a couple of years ago. I mean, he has 12 goals.
He's been spectacular. It's an absolute amazing performance from him over there. But listen, he's got the right players around him. He's happy. He's mobile. He's movement. Who wouldn't want him? I mean, that's the thing that I just love about this guy, is movement and mobility. But those types of players have to be surrounded by the right elements. And this is where the Dynamo and Owen Coyle are putting together a winger-oriented system now. They've rewarded Will Bruhn with a bigger contract. But you got to get that penetration, and you've got to get the width to the game in order for you to get the best out of these other elements.
Absolutely, absolutely. You got to have some guys with some really great chemistry. And I just personally felt like if with Memphis and with Martial, and you have him in the center and you play a 3-3-4, I really think that'd be a much better squad right now. I'm not a coach, and granted, he's won on every level. He's made every accomplishment except for the EPL. So I'm sitting back as a fan, and I'm just frustrated right now. But I really just don't think that the outlook is really good right now the way the team is playing. And I don't know what has to change in order for Manchester to get back on top, especially seeing the guys like Arsenal has turned it around. Man City is being consistently great. Leicester City, Vardy is amazing. Vardy is just simply
what
amazing.
What a story. What a story Jamie Vardy of Leicester is, huh? What a story that is.
Absolutely. I mean, guys have been a jerk, whatever, but at the same time, Leicester is an amazing team, and I'm going to say this here. They're not winning because the premier teams are bad. They're winning because they are good.
No, we have to give them credit. And you think of the resources in comparison to the top clubs over there. You have to tip your hat, number one, to the manager. These players, they're all buying in. Maybe you don't like Jamie Vardy's personality, but I'll tell you what, he's well-loved in that locker room. I can assure you that.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And, I mean, all credit to them because they are doing everything. They are doing everything right. They are playing like a team that has nothing to lose right now because, quite frankly, they don't have anything to lose. The expectation wasn't going to be for them to finish in the top four this year, and now they are dominating the league. And that's not even an understatement because right now nobody can play with these guys.
Hey,
even the great Jose.
It's not fantastic. It's not fantastic right now. Why. It's not fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
That's Jose. I am not fantastic.
Oh, didn't happen to a better guy.
Well, I think when you're the guy that wants all the attention thrust on you, I think it can be dangerous. I don't know the longevity of that type of coach. Obviously, his longevity could be for a variety of reasons, but that is one that has to be considered because he is, and I don't, you know, he's a narcissist. I don't think there's any question. And I think narcissists can be tolerated when you're winning, when you're not winning. So this whole, you know, the guys that are coming up with the theory now, and I'm on a very different page than they are, that, you know, this is all Jose doing his Zen Jedi magic by saying that my team is, is betraying me. That's the word he's using. His team is betraying him. That's gone. The Jedi stuff obviously isn't working if you've lost 9 games. So I think that's actually a shot at his players. I think he's basically thrown them overboard. I think it's going to continue to be bad.
Yeah, he is completely throwing them under the bus. And I will tell you, the thing that's going to make this, if he makes it this far, if they beat PSV in the UCL, all will be forgiven. Everything's going to be wonderful. He'll be the great Jose again, and it's going to be annoying again. But how odd would that be to have a team go very far in the UCL and get relegated in EPL?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. They're only 1 point ahead of the drop zone right now. I don't see them getting past Paris Saint-Germain. The only thing you can do now if you're players, you play in spite of a manager, and that works sometimes. You play in spite of that personality. You begin to despise them so much that then you're going to play in spite of him. And I also think, look, it is the Champions League. So they could produce a very good performance in the Champions League because of what it is and hope and possibility, which pretty much has been drained and lost in a very short amount of time in the Premier League.
Yeah, they've given up in the Premier League. They have already given up. But they still have some fighting spirit in the UCL, especially with a team being like PSV, and not to mention you have Barcelona waiting in the wings, who could have went to trouble this year. I'm saying it right now, they very well could. You know, and with that level of competition on that level of time that they know they still have a very, very good shot of winning, that's a reason for them to play. That's a reason for those guys to come out there and keep on going and keep on pushing. But it won't be because they won't be doing it for Jose. You're right. They'll be doing it because, see, we won despite Jose being here.
I've seen it happen. I've been a part of teams that has happened. It does happen, and it does happen at the professional level. And then, you know, there's always the question, and I don't know if this is anywhere near the truth, but it is always a possibility that players are not producing their best because they want the manager to go. Boy, and that to me would be very unethical. Any player that did that would be very unethical. I don't think it happens often.
But at the same time, he brought in Falcao thinking he was going to work his magic and make Falcao a great player when Falcao was shot midway through the season with United last year. We all saw that. We all saw that he wasn't the guy. And when you take a risk on somebody like that, that means that you are not only like thumbing your nose at everybody in the EPL, but you're thumbing your nose at the front office and the other players. Because it was obvious to everybody that this guy wasn't any good anymore. But being so arrogant, like you said, so narcissistic to believe that you can take this one guy who's completely shot after his injury and just it doesn't have his form anymore, and that you can wave your Jose pixie dust on him in order to make him great, that was unrealistic. And he should have known better than that. So I have no sympathy.
They, by the way, they don't have a I love it. You're speaking with passion here. By the way, they don't have a goal scorer in the top 30 in the Premier League, I believe, 25 or 30. They don't have a top goal.
Nope.
I think Costa's got two or three.
Yeah,
pretty
right.
Pretty unbelievable. By the way, your man Javier Chicharito Hernandez, to rub a little salt in the wound, because I know you're a Manchester United fan, he now has 15 goals in his last 12 games. He had three, as you know, against Mönchengladbach. And now, I don't know if you saw the goals he scored against Mönchengladbach, but
I saw that, yes.
One was close control in the penalty area. He scored one from distance, and then one of those perfectly timed, you know, Chicharito, Johnny on the spot type goals. But
right.
Talk about some differing goals, you know. He scored some differing goals. And in some ways, if you look at those three goals, you go, wow, he's expanding his game in a couple of different areas.
Yeah. And see, the seed of that was planted in 2013 when he was playing with Sir Alex Ferguson, and he had Robbie Van Persie on one side, Rooney on another side. So it was there. The potential for it was there. And when Sir Alex left and Moyes came in and LVG came in, they did not invest in him the way Sir Alex did. And I think that's where he ends up having the quote-unquote fall off, because I don't think it was one. And now, in Germany, they just basically put him in front of goal and said, do whatever you feel like doing. And now he's playing like the second coming of Messi.
Belief, possibility, the right fit sometimes, the right manager, the right setup. These are all things that come into play. Remember, Robin Van Persie was on a goal-scoring tear, so it was hard for him to get playing time. So, you know, it's all dependent upon sort of the moment, the timing of things. And let's see how it goes in the future for Chicharito. But there's no doubt the man's talented. Even when he left Manchester United, people were criticizing. I mean, come on. This is a talented soccer player.
Those of us that remember are still criticized. So,
yep.
Best luck to him, and I hope that my squad can turn it around and we can at least finish in the top four again. That's basically what I'm shooting for right now. Winning the league, I don't think we can do it with the form we're playing with right now.
Manchester, but. Matt, thank you very much for tuning in tonight. Thank you for the phone call and your thoughts. I love the passion.
Thank you very much, Glenn. And the Reds go marching on.
There you go. And it's still an optimistic fan. You got to be loyal to the end. And right there with them in the good times and the band. Hey, soccer fans, Amigo Energy, again, reminding you that any time is electricity savings time for Amigo Energy. This month, the featured product, Assurance 24. Again, this is a program that offers single all-in rate at all usage levels, no customer service or payment fees, so you're saving there. This program is ideal for apartments, anyone who doesn't use a lot of electricity. And if you're tired of getting hit with low usage fees or having to pay fees when you call in your payment, well, Assurance 24 is the program for you. Go to www.amigoenergy.com/soccermatters and enroll today or call 888-995-9299. That's 888-995-9299. Sign up for electricity savings today with Amigo Energy. And again, go to amigoenergy.com/soccermatters. We'll take a break. We got more to go here. I want to hear from you. 713-780-3776. Chicharito. Tigres Pumas and the Mexican Liguilla final. How about some thoughts on that? How about the thoughts on Houston hosting the Men's College Cup next year? It's important for us to get fans out. What would you do? Would you put the games in one site like the College World Series in baseball in Omaha if it's coming down to NCAA men and women's soccer? Would Cary, North Carolina be the place for that? What are your thoughts? Did you see Jordan Morris yesterday? Your thoughts on him? You think he's going to Europe or you think he's staying in Major League Soccer? And by the way, I'll give you an update on that. Yeah, a porn star running a soccer team. Yeah, it's false advertising. You'll see. Take a break. 713-780-3776, the number to call in.
ESPN 97.5.
It's been a while.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. You know, I heard that song from Stain. It's been a while, it jumped out at me the other day. It's a great song. 713-780-3776, the number. We've been talking about Javier Chicharito Hernandez. Hey, by the way, for those of you, Chicharito more popular than Canelo? I mean, I think it's pretty obvious. Maybe it's a silly question, but they're both very popular athletes in Mexico. But I got to think Chicharito is the most popular Mexican athlete there is from that standpoint. Obviously, boxing is very popular in Mexico, but soccer probably trumps it. I don't think there's any question. But Chicharito's example of doing it on the world stage and in a place like Germany right now and scoring goals, 15 in his last 12 appearances, pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. Think of the pride that sort of performance and the way an athlete carries themselves. By the way, it's another thing I like about Chicharito and Canelo, the way they carry themselves. I was fortunate enough to see the Canelo fight here in Houston, and I thought the class and the way that guy handled himself, as with Chicharito as well, excellent. 713-780-3776. So we can talk Chicharito. Coming up in the next hour, we got a bunch of interviews. Andrew Wenger of the Houston Dynamo now, acquired in the trade, comes over with Maidana from the Philadelphia Union, kid who played his soccer at Duke University from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, has been seeking out some job definition. And I think this is the secret in his acquisition is defining his role. And this is not me being a genius here. I think this is something that certainly Owen Coyle and the Dynamo are going to do. They're not going to make this a player that's role is not defined. He's coming here for a purpose. I believe that's on the right side. And, you know, there's going to be competition for playing time here. I don't think there's any question. Up front, there's going to be competition. Will Bruin got a new contract. Nice contract. You know, we got Kubo Torres fighting for that position. Everybody's incredibly high on Mauro Manotas. But the Dynamo wide game is going to have to provide that width and penetration that has been missing. And it's also going to need to have an influence out there in order to pull people off of Christian Maidana, who's going to come in and be the playmaker for the Houston Dynamo. So you're going to get a playmaker back for the Dynamo. And I'm wondering if that excites you as a Dynamo fan. Finally, you're going to get another number 10 here, which we haven't had, a playmaker, one that's going to have less responsibility from a defensive standpoint, I would assume. Hey, by the way, did you see the Bournemouth goal directly from the corner? The Olympico. Stanislas. Put Bournemouth up 1-0 over Manchester United. Did you see that? 713-780-3776. So I put out there Unam Pumas and Tigres. What an amazing final in the Liga that was. So Tigres had a 3-0 lead coming back to Monterrey after annihilating Unam Pumas. So you're saying, how interesting a final could this be? And everybody had written it off as it's over. Tigres is going to win it. And lo and behold, Tigres scores right near the end of the first half. I'm sorry, Pumas scores right at the end of the first half. Then they score right at the beginning of the second half, and it's game on. So now it's 3-2 on aggregate. And in the 87th minute, I believe, they tie things up. Goes into overtime, nothing happens, and it's on to penalties. Tigres wins, but almost blow it. And they don't win it the way they want to. Not that that's going to matter. But unbelievable. So if you have any thoughts on Unam Pumas and Tigres, let's talk about that as well. Again, in the second hour, Tom Marshall, ESPN FC, does great coverage of the Mexican League. He will be on the show. Craig Weibel, the general manager of Real Salt Lake. And you will hear from Andrew Wenger, the new Dynamo signing, as well here tonight. Let's go to the phone lines. And Andrew, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to talk about Chicharito a little bit. You know, a lot of people are basically saying that Man United made a huge mistake by releasing him. But my thoughts are, you know what? At the time, it seemed to have made sense. But more importantly, is it more about style of the Premier League versus style of the German League? Or is it really Chicharito being that good? You know, he's a prolific scorer when he gets the opportunity. He scored at Real Madrid, he scored there. But, I mean, I think at the time, I think Frank Percy was still there and such, and the size of Man U. I just wanted to get your thoughts to see whether, hindsight's 2020, but was it the right move?
Well, I think you're right. I think it's easy to take this position once he's gone and he's scoring goals. I don't think there's any question. And he was behind Robin Van Persie. You know, look, his game is movement and mobility and service. And he must be – he's getting that. He's getting that. But he's also scoring some goals a little bit more that he's creating his own opportunity. He scored a goal from longer range, which is not necessarily a Chicharito a part of the package. So he's doing some different things. I think that also sort of exemplifies the confidence this guy has right now. I find him an exciting player. And he may be an exciting player and he doesn't touch the ball a whole lot, but I just love the way that when that guy's facing a goal, his movement, mobility, his ability to change direction and get places and that innate knowledge of knowing where the ball's going to be and meeting the ball before anybody else on the field. I just love the guy. I think he's exciting, entertaining, but he is that type of player that has to have the right support. And that's the thing that I think is an X factor with a player like him. You have to have the right support in and around you. We'll continue the Chicharito talk if you want, but let's go to Jason. Jason, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Glenn, how are you tonight?
Very good, sir.
Hey, I've got a little it's a two-part deal, I guess you could say. What is a bigger surprise to you, Leicester City in the lead in the EPL or Chelsea? I know they're not in the bottom three, but close to relegation. Which one of those two is a bigger surprise for you?
Wow, that's a great question. That's one a radio host should pose to his audience. But you've done it beautifully as you call in. Which one would be the bigger surprise? Wow, that is a really tough one. I would say... the bigger surprise has got to be Chelsea, I guess. I saw Chelsea. Here's one thing I would say. I saw Chelsea get run around by a bunch of young kids with the New York Red Bulls in an exhibition game before the season. Jose Mourinho was not happy after the game because we interviewed him. And I just thought, based on the things that he was saying, that something wasn't right. Never in my wildest dreams did I think we would see them 1 point above the relegation zone at this point, having lost 9 games. No. So I don't know. But I do go back to having called that game and seen these young, they were basically New York Red Bull Academy kids and reserve players who just had no fear. I mean, they were running by John Terry, heading balls in and scoring. A 16-year-old kid scored. And I found it a little bit shocking because it was in front of fans and it was on TV. And I just said to myself, yeah, I don't think Chelsea, I don't care that it's preseason and you can always condition it with it's a preseason game and all that. That's not good for Chelsea. And it can't make a manager happy. And the only guy who looked like he was putting an effort in was Eden Hazard. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a very tough question to answer. They're two incredible stories, though. I think that's one thing we do know.
I do like it. The Leicester City, that's the biggest part of it. I'm not a Mourinho fan. He is just the arrogance of him, and I actually kind of like it. I've never liked Chelsea. I'm a Tottenham fan, and Chelsea's just never been one of my favorites, and I actually kind of like to see it. It's like, I don't know, it's kind of like, I don't want to say the New York Yankees because that's, you know, Manchester United of the EPL, but, you know, it's kind of like an Atlanta Braves or somebody just totally having the crappiest year they could ever have, and I kind of like it.
But remember, when a guy is narcissistic as Mourinho, and we know he's talented, I don't think there's any question, we all know he's talented, but when a coach is that dominant and is the limelight of the team constantly, it's something that he has to feed, I think. And I think he is very narcissistic, and I think when you don't win, that's when it becomes a real problem. And
he's
obviously,
he's like
I don't
Ryan,
think there's any, yeah, I don't think there's any question. He's lost the players. Now you can play in spite of him, and that's hopefully what they'll do in the Champions League.
You think he's gone after this year?
I got to think so. I mean, obviously it depends how the year finishes. I mean, and what they do in the Champions League, but I think there's too much scarring. There's too many open wounds right now. Look, I'm not in the locker room. This is just my, this is my judgment that there's open wounds. There's too many players that aren't playing for him, and that something has to be done. And that would be a manager over all the players.
He isolates himself every interview. He's just, I don't know. I just don't like the guy, and they need something different. Anyway, just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Yeah, that was a good question. That's a tough one, but thank you very much.
Thanks, Glenn.
Appreciate the call. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. So doing the Stanford game in Clemson yesterday, which Stanford won, and Friday night, the two NCAA men's semifinals went into penalty kicks. There were no goals scored. Everybody was like, oh, but the game's honestly, it was because it was a night of great goalkeeping. Clemson goalkeeper Andrew Tarbell, unbelievable on Friday night. The goalkeeper for Syracuse, absolutely outstanding. A young kid, well, not that young. He's 20 years old, but he was a freshman from Germany. Hendrik Hilpert. Played very well, very competent. Stanford goalkeeper Andrew Epstein, very competent, good goalkeeper. And then, of course, the Akron goalkeeper, whose name is escaping me right now, Fenlison. Fenlison, excellent as well. So really, the definition was, it was all about goalkeeping. That was the real story. And teams had chances, and they, were well-organized. Four very, very good coaches, Mike Noonan at Clemson, Stanford's coach Jeremy Gunn, who I knew from his days coaching Fort Lewis in Division II. Then you had Akron's coach, Embick, and a couple of and a great coach in Syracuse, and Ian McIntyre. So it was interesting. It was an interesting tournament. Let's go to Henry real quick. Henry, what's on your mind? Henry, you're on the air. What's on your mind, Henry?
I would like to talk about Chelsea's transfer news, about rumors and stuff about players that might leave the club.
Yep, talk about it.
Well, yeah.
Turn off your radio, please. Turn off your radio.
Okay.
Come on, this is valuable time.
Well, there was rumors about the player Hazard leaving Chelsea.
Yes.
Because of not for him not shooting goals in the club. Mm-hmm. Because it's been like 24 games without him shooting goals at all. And there were rumors of him leaving to Real Madrid. And my question is, do you think Chelsea might get stronger by letting these players go?
Well, listen, I think the problem runs deeper than one singular player. There has been a lot of talk about Hazard leaving. There's been a lot of people encouraging him to leave. His agent probably is. Mark Wilmots, who is the Belgian national team coach, is concerned about Hazard in the Premier League and the physical abuse. It's more than that. It's not just Eden Hazard. It's a team that's not performing. It's a team that were champions last year that have lost 9 games. Something is seriously wrong. The manager's not getting through to the players, as talented as he is. And really, it doesn't come down to one singular player. We're going to have to go because we're up on a heartbreak here. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much for bringing that up. But, the Chelsea saga, let's just say it's not over. But it's one to watch. Sadly, we as fans sometimes like watching the train wreck. Right now, I'm steering myself away from Chelsea, more to the great stories of Jamie Vardy and Leicester and AFC Bournemouth. Take a break. We got more to come. We got interviews around the corner, a ton of good ones. Tom Marshall of ESPN FC will be there. We will also talk to Andrew Wenger, the new Dynamo signing, who's a link to play out wide in midfield. And also, former Dynamo Craig Weibel, GM of Real Salt Lake now. We'll take a break. 7-Up break, Bud Light break. Here I am.
ESPN 97.5.